Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs, refreshing, relevant, real.
All right, today we are going to be in Revelation 21. That's where we're going to start, but we're actually going to end up in Matthew 15. So we're going to go between those two. But I heard a lot of good things from last Sunday. I just want to thank everybody that helped out with that. And last Sunday I got in, so it was kind of a trip of delays, okay? So I flew out there last Saturday in the afternoon. I was supposed to get in like 8 o'clock. Into Virginia Beach, ended up getting in closer to 11, it was after midnight before I got in and got to a place where I was staying. So, but there again, I got stuck in Chicago and got all boarded and loaded, and they says, oh, there's a check engine light on, we need to get that cleared. And so 3-4 hours later, they got it cleared and got us on down to Virginia Beach, Norfolk area. So we was there and had a great week of classes. Last Sunday morning, though, I was at a church plant. So a church that had just launched. It was their third Sunday, so today would be 1 month for them. And so I found out where they were at. They weren't too far from where I was staying. And they were meeting in a school. So some of you remember those days, very few of you, but some of you remember those days and the trailer and unloading and loading back up and so it just needed to be part of that. And so they were in a high school auditorium is where they had their service. And I kind of came in and I sat, you know, kind of in the end. You know, that's where you like to sit, right? You sit on the end. That way you can get out easy and stuff like that. So that's where I sat. And there was a family that came in just a few minutes after me. And so they needed a place to sit. And they were kind of putting people all in the center there. And so I moved towards the center as much as I could. And it was kind of interesting. I don't think they definitely were a family that hadn't been in church much. You could just tell by looking at them and just by some of their conversation. But I just remember one part of the message where the pastor was just talking about, you know, the way maybe they had been and living and the way maybe God had come into their life and changed them. And you could see the husband kind of looked at the wife and said, yeah, that used to be me. And so God was working in his heart and in his life. And so it was kind of neat to be part of that process and see what God was doing there. So, and then I had classes all week and then tried flying home early yesterday morning. That was the plan, and I was all boarded again, ready to push off. And they says, oh, we got a big gash in the tire. So they looked at it and says, yeah, we need to replace it. Should only be about an hour job, but the problem is there's no tire here. So they had to go all the way up to Washington, D.C. They drove it down from there. And so I was supposed to be out of there before 7, didn't get out of there until 3 in the afternoon. So then that just changed everything, canceled a bunch of flights, but got into Omaha finally, got home last night. So sometimes God just takes you through delays, doesn't he, and tests you and all that. This morning I'm going to share a little bit of a portion of some of the material I covered in my class. And if you did the course, the Search for Significance, I think there will be some overlap with that, just a little bit. But it was explained in a different way, and I thought it to be very, very helpful. And I think it'll work well with the kids here this morning. So it's entitled, What's in Your Box? See, I got boxes up here. You want to know what? Anybody want to know what's in these? What's in your box? So this one says what? Emotions. What does this one say? Beliefs. All right. So we're going to find out what is in some of these boxes. Before we do, though, let's talk a little bit about pain. How many like pain? Anybody like pain here? Dave does, yes. No pain, no gain, right? There we go, right? Right, Jay? No pain, no gain? Yes. All right. Most of us don't like pain, but we realize it is part of our world, isn't it? There's usually three types of pain, if you want to put it into categories, and I don't know if this is an exhaustive list, but there's three types of pain. There's truth-based pain. In other words, it's pain that we experience that is true pain, okay? It is based on hitting my thumb with a hammer, okay? you know, kicking a rock with your toe. That hurts, right? That is true pain. Or death of a loved one. We grieve, we mourn. That is true pain. A broken relationship. Those are forms of what we would call truth-based pain. There's really something to that. Then there is the second type of pain, which is sin-based pain. All right? Sin-based pain. And that means that I'm experiencing pain because of my actions and my sin, right? You reap what you sow is what Scripture says. And God forgives, right? Right? God forgives. But that doesn't mean that you're always free of the consequences of your sin. Those two things are different. He forgives us of our sin, but sometimes there's earthly consequences that come as a result of our actions and our sin. So we, at times, experience pain because of our actions. And then there's a third one that's called lie-based pain. And that's the one that we're going to touch a little bit more on here and dig in a little bit deeper. Pain is part of this world, isn't it? Now, in heaven, we get a different picture. So, Edmund, we're going to go with Revelation there. Revelation 21. And this is what John the Revelator says. He says, "Then I saw heaven, the new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city and the new Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband." Okay? I did Virginia Beach last Sunday afternoon after I went to church. Went and just walked the beach there. And there was a wedding right on the beach. Everybody was out on the beach doing their own thing. And then there was this wedding right there. So I just walked right through it. Right? It hadn't started yet. So, but they were just setting it up there. So as they were preparing for this, that is what heaven is going to be like, as a bride adorned for her husband. "And I heard a voice from the throne saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God.'" In other words, God's presence, God's people, is among men. His presence, his dwelling. "And he will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be among them." Verse 4. "And he will" what? "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no longer any death. There will be no longer any mourning, crying, or pain. The first things have passed away." The first things have passed away. But on this earth, we do have pain, don't we? We have truth-based, we have sin-based, and we have lie-based. So this morning, I want to dig in a little bit deeper into lie-based pain. And you're probably thinking, what in the world is that? Well, we're going to find out, okay? So we all have a box, Eben. Where's that box? Where do we got? There's the box, there. We all have a box. Did you know you have a box? Summer, you have a box. Yes, all right. And in that box is what? Let him sit a while. Oh, he gave it to you. What is it? Beliefs are in that box. Okay, but now you have to keep them in suspense. Where do you think that box is kept in your life? Anybody know? Don't know? Come on, give me an answer. Heart. Is that right? In your heart. You have it in your heart. Very good. Let's illustrate this a different way. Let's bring up that other image. If you were to illustrate it a different way, this is just kind of a really makeshift train, I think is what it is. So it's not like the kind that Sarah's dad drives, but kind of a similar idea. But what this is it shows the box here, right? And in it is the beliefs. And it has wheels, right? And then what's this? It says emotions. You have to be a little bit closer. And then there's even some smoky, swirly stuff that I designed. I'm not an artist, but I think it's pretty close. It's what I did with my free time at the airport yesterday. So, all right. And then we have arrows here. Why? Because it's our beliefs that push us along, right? And the emotions are important because our emotions actually help us understand what our beliefs are. And it's not until we understand our emotions then that we can understand our beliefs and the beliefs that drive us. So let's talk a little bit more about this. So I need the kids to help us out because we're going to look at some emotions And we're going to mainly look at emotions that we deal with that are probably a little more on the negative side. So I need some volunteers up here, and Summer and Mariah are going to help out the kids too. So kids, you can come on up here. We're going to have you come up here for a little bit, and then we'll have you go back to your parents. All right. So, okay, you're the first one up here. Can't look in the box, though. I don't know what's going to be in there. You can't look? No, you can't look. Can't look. There might be a crab in there or a snake. No, there's not. So close your eye. Stick your hand in there. Just grab one. Okay, there's a piece of paper in there. All right. You can. Oh, nope. Wrong one. Woo! All right. I'm going to put that one in there. All right. Draw another one. Hopefully we got the right. Wrong one. Are you doing magic? Are you sure? Oh, man. Okay, here we go. All right, now draw. All right. Why don't you hold that up for everybody? What does that one say? Sadness. You ever felt sadness? Anybody felt sadness? Yeah, you've had sadness. All right, so Elena, they're going to go hang that up on the line there. They're going to help you do that, okay? Grace? All right, what do you got? Okay, hold that up for everybody. Exhausted. I think your mom feels exhausted some days. Is that right? Yeah, okay. You ever feel exhausted?
Yeah.
All right. Here, you get the next one. Okay, just make sure you got one. You just got one? All right, what does that say? Frustration. All right, I know your mom never gets frustrated. All right, why don't you go put that one up there? What does that one say? Defensive. What's defensive about? Somebody says something, we go, right? You ever have your dog, you feed your dog, and he's protective of his food? He's defensive? Sometimes we're like that. Oh, hurt. You ever get your feelings hurt? Somebody says something and it hurts? Yeah. All right. There's two left in there. Ooh, okay. Show that up to everybody. What does that one say? Fear. You ever been afraid? Have feelings of fear? Yeah, kind of. All right, okay. One more. Okay. Oh, there's two more. What does that one say? Depression. And along with that might be discouragement. Discouragement is usually a little bit less of there, but depressed. And what's that one? Ooh.
I don't know.
You don't know? You can turn around. What does it say? Anxiety. Ooh. All right, why don't we go hang that one up? So these are some of the emotions we can feel. It's definitely not an exhaustive list because, there we go. Okay? All right. So I'm going to have you guys move off to the side a little bit so we can see this list here. These are emotions that we many times feel, okay? And you don't have to raise your hand, but a lot of us have had at least one of these emotions, if not several of them, and maybe all of them. We've felt them at different times. And we feel these things and they cause us pain in our lives, okay? And difficulty. And sometimes we leave it at the emotional level and think something's wrong with me. But there's actually beliefs that are fueling these emotions. Did you know that? There's beliefs. And if we can understand the emotions, if we can understand those emotions and say, okay, what is triggering some of these emotions? Did you know there's actually beliefs in your heart that are triggering some of those emotions? Let's find out what they are. I need a few more volunteers. Do we have any kids that didn't help out? All right. You didn't get one. All right. Okay. So let's find out what some of these beliefs may be. What does that one say? Life is not worth living. What emotion would that be connected to? Depression. Yeah. So when we're depressed, a lot of times the belief that is actually functioning in our heart is that life is not worth living. I know none of you have ever thought that. but I think a lot of us have. Life is not worth living. Because that's the way we feel when we are depressed, and that is the belief that is operating in our heart, is that life is not worth living. All right. Who else? Anybody else that hasn't gone? All right. We can. If you want to come through a second time, you can come through a second time. All right. Okay. You are so nice. Come on, Izzy. Yeah, come on. Come on. She's so nice. All right. So what does that one say? I cannot trust God and I must do things myself. I can't trust God and I must do things myself. I'm going to talk more about that one later. All right. Who else? You ever think you can't trust God? What does this one say? God does not care about my life. That one's close to the other one, so that might, what would be the emotion there would maybe be what? Maybe depression again, or fear, frustration would maybe be associated with that. Maybe even sadness. Okay? All right. What else? Okay. Nobody likes me. Right, Denise? All right. What is that? You know what that one says? I can't do anything right. Frustration, right? Maybe it's a boss, supervisor, parents. I can't do anything right. Okay? God doesn't love me. We know that's one of the basic truths of Scripture, isn't it? But you know what? There's times I think that belief is very much alive in our hearts that God doesn't love me. All right. All right. Let's give these guys a hand. All right. Kids, you can go back with your parents. So you got that illustration up there, Eben. Let's look at what Scripture has to say. Does Scripture talk about this? It does. So let's go to Matthew chapter 15, 10 through 20. Matthew chapter 15, 10 through 20. And my iPad decided that it didn't want to work today, so it's on strike or something. I don't know. All right. Matthew chapter 15, 10 through 20. And it says, "And he called the people to him," this is Jesus, "and he said to them, 'Hear and understand. It is not what goes into the mouth that defiles a person, but what comes out of the mouth that defiles a person.'" In other words, so he's talking about food, right? So you can eat food, and it may give you calories, it can may do other things, but it doesn't make you spiritually unclean. Okay? "Then the disciples came to him and says, 'Do you not know the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?'" Ooh, he offended the Pharisees. He answered, "Every plant that my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted. Let them alone. They are blind guides." They don't know what they're talking about. "Let the blind lead the blind. Both will fall into a pit." But then he said to Peter, "Explain the parables to us. Are you also still without understanding? Do you not see that whatever goes into a mouth passes through the stomach and it is expelled?" Everybody say, "Ooh." All right. All right. Okay, we're not going to go into that process. But that's what happens, right? "But what comes out of the mouth proceeds from where?" The heart. Okay, so we're getting at what we're talking about. "For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander, and these are what defile a person. But to eat with unwashed hands does not defile anybody." Okay, now your parents are still going to want you to wash your hands when you eat your food, kids, right? All right? But what he's getting at is that does not make you spiritually unclean when you have dirty hands that you haven't washed. It's just a little dirt. It's not going to hurt anybody. But what hurts is when our heart is not clean before God. And many times the beliefs that are within our heart that don't align with Scripture, that is what causes us. And so, Eben, if you can bring up that my train again. When these beliefs in our heart are not good beliefs, they're false beliefs, they're lie-based beliefs, because they're based on lies, right? Okay, so you look at all of this. Life is not worth living. Is that true? That's a lie, isn't it? Okay, I can't trust God with the things, I must do things myself. Is that true or false? That's a lie. God doesn't care about my life. True or false? Nobody likes me. True or false? I can't do anything right. True or false? And God doesn't love me. True or false? Those are all lies, aren't they? Those are all lies, and they often are within our heart, and they're part of our belief system, and they propel us, and it is out of our heart then we act and we do things. So let us illustrate this a little bit more, okay? I'm going to catch up with my my notes here. The problem that we sometimes run into is that we function from a dualistic mindset, okay? Dualism means that I can believe one thing up here. I can know what Scripture has to say. I can know that God loves me, right? That's the truth of God's Word, right? But down here, I can still believe at times that God doesn't love me. You have that disconnect. That's dualism. We believe one thing in our mind, know one thing in our mind, but we believe something else in our heart. And so then that causes us issues, and we then act out of that, okay? We treat other people the way we shouldn't be treating them, or we do things that we shouldn't do. Once we identify the emotions that we are feeling, okay, over here, and we target the lie-based beliefs that are sabotaging our life, once we identify those, then we can ask the Holy Spirit, saying, okay, so say I am dealing with depression, okay? I'm dealing with depression. I know I'm feeling it. I'm sensing it, okay? And then as I look and I think, what is driving that depression? But maybe it's I have this sense that God doesn't care about my life. Now, how did that truth get there? How did that truth get there? Maybe it's just the environment you were raised in. Maybe it could have been from what others said at school. Maybe it just the circumstances of life that have got us to that truth through experience. And we say, you know what? That must be the truth. Okay? I know Scripture says that God loves me, but experience has taught me that God doesn't care about my life. Because look at it. This, and this happened. God doesn't care about my life. I could have said yesterday, God doesn't care about me because my plane was delayed, right? God, you must not know my schedule. Don't you care about me? Right? But then we let that experience. So, whether this was part of God's plan or not, I do not know. So, on my last flight from Chicago to Omaha, I was supposed to fly into Lincoln. I ended up flying into Chicago. Last flight out. Guess what? I'm on the very back row, right by the bathrooms, very back row, and 39C, all right? I'm in the back there, and guess what? There's this couple that had been on a little bit of an anniversary in Boston, right? No. Buffalo, because they saw the Niagara Falls, Atlanta, and then Buffalo. She surprised them on their anniversary. They thought they were going for a wedding. Anyway, so he's a big guy. He's like Jay. He has shoulders, okay? All right? He's a big guy. But, you know, he was built and stuff like that, and his wife, and I'm thinking, oh, man, you know, maybe there's another open seat or something like that. I was on the aisle, but I thought, man, this is just going to be a tight fit, you know, back row and everything, so. And the plane was full. And so there was one I was eyeing just across the aisle. I thought, that one, there was only one guy in the window. I thought I could just be right there, have a comfortable night ride. It's only an hour trip, but I can sleep because I hadn't slept much. I thought I'm going to sleep. And some lady came in, and she sat right there. And it's kind of like, ah. Oh. And so he goes, oh, we'll make room. We'll make room. So I got my stuff, and I sat down, and we squished together, sat in there. And his name was Rob. He works with the Bridge Ministry, nonprofit organization in North Omaha. Has anybody ever heard of it? So he works with that. And so we began to have a conversation, and said that I was a pastor and was working on classes and stuff. And so we had this nice conversation. I said, doing some leadership coaching. So he goes, so coach me. And so for the next hour, I didn't get rest, but I coached him. And just had this interesting conversation, have his contact information, and Maybe helped him out with a few things, I don't know. But it just ended up being a conversation. So I could have said, you know what? God doesn't care about my life, but maybe he had other priorities in store, right? And it really has to do with, do I trust God with my life and his plans? Sometimes he has things out there that we're not aware of, that we have to trust him, right? So let me walk through just a process that you can do within your own life. And Eben has the points there. The first point is the trigger. Okay, trigger is a word that we often have times that we have triggers in our life, right? So if you're smoked or you do smoke or you're trying to quit smoking, there's triggers, right? All right, so you may walk into some place or maybe it's stress or something that gets you and it triggers you, right? You want to have a smoke. Okay, and there may be other habits that trigger. Or your husband or wife said something and it's a trigger, right? You bite back, right? There's a trigger. I know none of you ever do that. But we have triggers in our life, right? And there's certain things that set off just like a mouse trap. You just hit that thing, it snaps, right? There's a trigger. So the first thing is what are the triggers in your life? Okay? So I'm going to illustrate one thing for me. And it has to do with anxiety. So when I was working on my master's degree, we moved down from North Dakota to Springfield, Missouri. Very stressful time, okay? And I did some assessment. They took some assessments on us. And what I found out, that they tested my anxiety, was part of that assessment. And it was kind of like it went off the charts, right? It was at the very top, okay? And it's kind of like, what? I don't have anxiety. And then I began to look back, and I look back when I was managing the campgrounds, and there would be certain times, especially when the season would begin, I would be so tight in my shoulders, and then I'd go like this, and all of a sudden that muscle would pull, and then I was in pain for a week, right, because that muscle pulled. It was just all tight and tense. And I was kind of like, oh, maybe I do have an anxiety issue. The tension was there. The signs were there. I just hadn't identified even that emotion. Now, anxiety is tied to what belief? Anybody know? It's tied to one of these beliefs up here. Anybody know? I can do things myself, right? I need to do things myself, right here. Where is that one? Right here. I can't trust God. I must do things myself. It really is a trust issue that I cannot trust God, and therefore, I have to do things myself in order for things to get done. And often I try to change things that are out of my control. And I'm worrying about things that I can't change. Okay? Now, there was a bunch of us at the airport yesterday thought, you know what? We got enough guys here. We can go out and change that tire real fast. Okay? And we were watching this poor guy all by himself changing this tire. And I thought, we need to get, you know, some cooperative guys here, you know, from... we got the farmers cooperatives here. They could have changed that. But here we had this one guy. I don't know if it's union stuff. I don't know what it is. But they had this one guy. So we're all watching this one guy change his tire for 2 hours, okay? When I finally got there from D.C., and he's putting it on, we're all watching him. I felt bad for him. And he finally got it on there, and we got going. But we worry about things, and we say, you know what? I know God loves me and things like that up here, and I can trust God, but down in the box of my heart, the belief that is operating is that I have to do things myself because I can't trust God, right? There's a disconnect between what I know in my mind and I believe in my heart. So, I'm not just going to leave you there. So what do we do there? We have the trigger, we have the emotions, we have the beliefs. Once we unidentify what the belief is, so by looking at the emotion, right, look at the emotion, that is kind of how we discover, okay, what are the beliefs that are governing in my heart, that are directing my life? Then I need to say, God, what truth do you want to replace these false beliefs? What truth do you need to put in my heart that is not there? So in my case, the anxiety. What can you think of? What truth from God's word? So I go to God and I say, God, help me out. Holy Spirit, just show me. So what are some truths that come to your mind? What's some scripture verses that would address this trust issue and that I have to do things myself? That I have to be worried, I have to be anxious? Can you think of a passage of scripture? What does it say? Okay, very good. Any others? That's a very good one. Anybody know what Philippians chapter 4 says? Okay, Eben, what does it say? It says, rejoice in the Lord always, and again say rejoice. Keep going. Let your reasonable bliss be known to all. The Lord is near our patience, all right? And keep going. Do not be about anything, but with everything, but in everything by what? Prayer and petition, supplication, with thanksgiving. Thank you, Jesus. Let your requests be known to God. And then what? The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. So, that is what God has to say, right? But this is what can be operating in our heart. And so then we have to say, God, I need your truth to now govern in my heart. Not only for it to be up here, but I need it in my heart. And I believe that when we bring that to God, then God is able then to bring that about in our life. Now, how long does it take to start a new habit and to develop new beliefs? At least that. 21, sometimes even 90. And so going back to my conversation with the fellow from Omaha that's working in North Omaha with kids, a lot of troubled youth and things like that, a very difficult area. He goes, you need to come experience it. So that's probably on one of the things I need to do at some point with him as my bodyguard, okay? No. But he just talked about it. He goes, so where do beliefs come from? And I told him, I said, well, I think they're first of all taught information, whether it's from parents, from school, church, from others. We get that information, but they're also caught, okay? In other words, it's by what we see modeled. And a mom or a dad may do nothing as far as teaching certain things, but you know what? There's things that you picked up from your parents that they never even taught you on. You caught it, right? And then there's experience. And he says experience plays a huge role in some of the kids that they're dealing with that shapes and molds their beliefs. And so when they get into a situation where maybe a broken family, broken home, difficulties in life, they say, God doesn't care about my life. What's telling them that? Their experience. Their experience is saying, you know what? With all that's happened, God doesn't care about me. But the truth of God's word says he does. And so you have to then counter those false beliefs. So you have the trigger. What is it that triggers those emotions? And you have to identify the emotions and beliefs. And then you get to God's truth as the Holy Spirit guides and directs you. And then you begin to say, God, now I need that to change and transform that in my life. You know, Satan is called the what? He's called the father of lies. And he's pretty good at it, folks. And he used it on Jesus. He says, if you are the Son of God, three times, do this. If you are the Son of God, do this. There was no question that he was the Son of God. He was. But even with Jesus, Satan tried to say, you know what, God doesn't care about you. If he would, he would have a buffet out here in the wilderness. You know, turn these rocks into bread. Or, hey, you know what, if you were the Son of God, he would give you a great position. He goes, I'll make you famous right now. Cool. And he began to tempt him in all these things to challenge the beliefs that were in the heart of Christ. He is the father of lies, and it is the number one tactic that he is going to try to sabotage your life with. You can come to church, you can be in God's word, but see, how we know that some of those things are happening is because of the emotions that we're feeling. And it doesn't mean that we're wrong or that we're bad. It just means that we're human. But if we can identify those emotions, they point to a belief that's probably operating in our heart. And we can say, Jesus, come and reveal your truth to me and help me to work through this. Now I want to go back to Psalms 43 that Tessa read earlier. And here the psalmist begins with, vindicate me, my God, plead my cause against my unfaithful nation. He's having a difficult time. He's feeling what? My nation doesn't love me and probably feels that God doesn't care about me right now, right? He's a spiritual man. He's a godly person, but he's feeling treated unjustly, right? God, where are you? So then he says, rescue me from those deceitful and wicked people. So the wicked are harming him, whether physically or in the area of just justice. Maybe they're slandering his name. But he comes back to the truth that God, you are my stronghold. Okay, he knows that. He comes back to the truth. He's wrestling with this. He goes, God, you're my refuge. But why have you rejected me? That's the belief. He's feeling, God, you've rejected me, but I know you're my stronghold. You see the dualism? He's just like you and I. He goes, God, I know you're my refuge, but why have you rejected me? Why must I go about mourning and oppressed by the enemy? Send your light and your faithful care. See, he knows the truth. He goes, God, send it. Because why? Let them lead me. You go back to the beliefs that are leading him. Let them bring peace to your holy mountain, to the place where you dwell. Verse 5. Why, my soul, are you downcast? Downcast, I would put in the area of discouraged or depressed. Why are you depressed? Why are you downcast? Why are you discouraged? Why are you so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior, my God. I'm going to have the musicians come. You'll have to figure out a way to get up here. Do you hear the psalmist? Why are you so discouraged? Why are you so depressed? Put your hope in God. He knew the truth, but it wasn't operating in his heart, and that bothered him. You know what? We're all human, and we all deal with that same thing, those same things in our heart and our life. It doesn't mean that we're strange. It doesn't mean that we're unique. We are uniquely made. It just means that the father of lies is doing his best to get us off track, to get us going down the wrong direction, to steal our plans, our purposes, our dreams, because he knows if he can discourage us, he knows if he can get any of these lies into our heart, it sends us off course, even if it is just a little bit. It causes us not to be who he's called us to be. It causes us to not grab a hold of the dreams he has for us. And it takes us down sometimes a very negative course. Some people that really get to the place that God doesn't care about my life, God doesn't love me, what do they turn to? Sometimes drugs, sometimes alcohol, sometimes risky behavior. Sometimes they even take their own life, folks, right? Because they believe in the lie instead of God's truth. Would you stand this morning? This is a process that any of you can go through on your own. Maybe sit down with a trusted friend and you go through it together. But this morning I believe that Satan, some of the best things to understand is to understand the tactics of Satan, that he is the father of lies, and his greatest weapon is fear. That's one of his greatest ones. Father, this morning we just open up our hearts and our lives. And Father, I think most of us here are identifying with some of what is being said, because it is part of being human and who we are. And Satan is, he's a real foe. But Father, you've given us the promises, you've given us your truth, and you've called us to live in your truth. Father, this morning I pray that you'd expose the lies for what they are in our hearts that have been, had a stronghold there maybe. Father, expose those lies within our hearts. I just pray that you would just shine your truth on them this morning. Expose those lies for what they are this morning, dear God. And Lord God, give us the strength by your Holy Spirit to change and to incorporate your truth, to live that truth, not only up in our mind, but in our heart of hearts. Lord, for that transformation to take place and for you to accomplish your purpose in your work. Hallelujah, Father, we pray. Will you just sing this chorus that we sang earlier? And just would you lift your request before God and just say, God, work in my life. Let him shine by his Holy Spirit. Just illuminate your heart this morning. And let the truth of God's word to come in there. Eye closed this morning, and I want you to raise a hand in significance of the lie that Satan has been using in your heart. There's maybe many of them, but I want you to pick one. What is the one most dominant lies that has governed in your heart? I want you to just raise your hand in significance that you are lifting that up. You know the lie. You know the damage that it has caused in your life. I want you to lift that up to God. Let's just pray together. Say, Lord, this morning we just come before you. Father, we know that Satan is the father of lies, and he's used this lie in our life long enough. And Lord, this morning we give it to you. And Father, we pray for your truth to come into our heart and our life, Father, right now, that you would begin to just download your truth into our heart, Lord, what your word has to say. Father, and we pray, Lord God, that you would replace that false belief with your truth, with your word. Lord, let it rule and reign in our heart, Lord God. Colossians says, let the presence and the richness of Christ dwell in our heart. And Father, we pray right now that that would happen, Father, by your Holy Spirit and by your power. Father, I pray that in the coming days, Lord God, in the coming hours, Father, when that lie starts to try to creep back in, Father, that we can memorize your truth and meditate on it and get that truth so that it's not only just in our head, but it's in our heart, and that it is directing the course of our life. Father, we just pray for your Holy Spirit to help us, empower us, and to change us. Father, you love us. You loved us so much that you sent your one and only Son to die on the cross so we could be forgiven, that we could know eternal life. And Father, that's where the journey begins. But Father, most of us have beliefs in our heart. They come from a variety of places, experiences, things that have happened, things that have been said over us. Father, this morning we stand on your truth. And we're saying, God, download your truth into our heart that it can rule and reign there. Hallelujah. We ask this in the precious and holy name this morning. Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Amen. Do we have a faster one? We did earlier. This morning, I just pray that I hope you think about this message through the day and through this week. I'd be curious just to see how God is working that out in your life. And I really believe that the research just shows that if you can have a trusted friend, that you can just confide in two or three of you, that you can just pray together, talk together. We all deal with the false based lies, those lies. Nobody's an exception. And to pray, to support one another, that's how change happens. You need support, encouragement, accountability. Spell C, okay? You'll be quizzed on that later. All right. What do you got for us?